As a great opportunity, as we follow up after Easter, there are so many ways to frame what we start doing now, because in a way, it's a reminder of how Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember that story? And as he walked with them, they didn't really recognize him for who he was until they sat down and broke bread. And as they talked about this, didn't our hearts burn within us? I hope that's why you're here today, that there's something out of Easter, there's something out of a rebirth experience with Jesus, there's something about what God is doing in your world and in this world that causes your heart to burn within you, and you want to see what's next. Another way of thinking about what we're doing, we're Streams of Hope Church, and what do streams do? Well, streams flow. And those of you who've been around a while know that we talk about the flow this way. We say the F stands for find Jesus. The most important thing you can do, if you've never met Jesus, is to come into a saving relationship with him, to find him. If you've been a Christian a while, sometimes you need to re-find Jesus, you know. We wander away. We quit seeing him at work. We don't notice all the things he's doing. We take things for granted. So finding Jesus. Then we talk about loving others. The O stands for offering ourselves, our lives, our stewardship, being in service to other people. And the W stands for walking wisely. And that really is what the entire life of following Jesus is about. It's learning to walk wisely. Next week, it'll be my privilege, and I'm going to tell this one next week, so don't get bored, but I just want to plant the seed in your mind. How many of y'all remember WWJD? Right? Stands for What Would Jesus Do? You know what I discovered about that? People were doing, Steve, remember they were talking about what would Jesus drive? You remember that? There was an argument about what kind of car you ought to drive and saving gas and not polluting the world, all this. Here's what I discovered. If you really want to answer the question, what would Jesus do accurately, what do you have to know? What Jesus did. I listen to people all the time who want to, well, Christians ought to, and they don't know anything about what Jesus did. And I'll tell you something. I studied Jesus most of my life now. I started going to church when I was 6 weeks old. As soon as I was cleared from the hospital, you know, and cleared to go out in public, my mama started taking me to church, and I hadn't missed many Sundays. I did a bachelor's degree in religion. I did a master's degree in divinity. I did a PhD in theological Christian ethics. I have studied Jesus a long time. I still don't have him figured out. And after studying him and his word all this time, I hadn't got him all figured out. I am relatively sure that those who have put in no effort and do not read the word of God have any idea what Jesus did, much less what Jesus would do. Now, the Bible has an interesting word for that, because it didn't wait for Jesus to come along, because knowing what Jesus did helps us to understand how to live. That's what the Bible in the Old Testament refers to as wisdom, how to walk wisely with God. So that's where we're going to pick up today. Now, a lot of you guys know I'm a book lover. One of the biggest challenges we had, once again, moving here from Alney, was the library took another hit, but I managed to hang on to about 1,500, I think, in here. Something like that. I love books. And, you know, when you go to school as long as I did, you better love books, because they're going to put you through a lot of them. I read all kinds. I read fiction. I read theological books. And I have even, over the years, enjoyed many of those little I would call them coffee table little books, you know, quotes on leadership, presidents, fun facts about presidents, you know, all those kind of little instruction books. Everything I needed to know, I learned. Remember that book? I learned in kindergarten. Yeah, yeah. But don't run with scissors, play nice with others, all those things. Yeah. This one was more for my wife than me, but I read it also, What to Expect When You Are Expecting. I mean, it's a great advice book. It's a little bigger than the average little one. That was not a little one. There was a little one written a few years ago, and the reason it was written was there was a young man by the name of Adam Brown. He was getting ready to go to college, and his father, Jackson Brown, not the musician, H. Jackson Brown, he decided that he wanted to pass along the most important things he could think of for his son to learn, more important about life than perhaps his college education, as his son prepared for the grown-up world. And he put it in the form of a little booklet, which later was published. You may have heard of it. It's called Life's Little Instruction Book. It's only sold a few million copies. life's little instruction book, just your advice for your son. Interestingly enough, the greatest single book of wisdom in the Bible is a lot like that. It's 3,000 years ago, more or less, King Solomon did what Mr. Brown did. Solomon, the Bible acclaims, is the wisest man who ever lived, and he had compiled a collection of wise sayings over the years, and he presented that collection to his son. And in the first couple of verses, he talks about why he has gathered them together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. This is just great instruction. This is what wisdom is for. And he really did this to pass along to his children. Solomon was used by God to bring that all together. It's kind of the original life's little instruction book, and it's all a part of this big life's instruction book right here. You really want to know how to live? This book will provide the answers for you. You want to know what life is about, your purpose for living? You want to know what the beginning's about? You want to know what the middle is like, and you want to know what the end is going to be? That book, the Bible, is where you need to turn. And Proverbs comes along more or less in the middle, a lot of wisdom for us to garner. If we were to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, we'd come across a story. There's a story about Solomon where God appears to him in a dream and basically says, you know, ask what you would want me to give to you. And Solomon says, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. In other words, Solomon's saying, give me a discerning heart, a wise heart. Give me wisdom. And the Bible says that God was so pleased with Solomon's request that God said essentially this: since you've asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for a long life, you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for power over your enemies, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you wisdom. And on top of that, I'm going to give you these other things: wealth, honor, a long life. And in part, it's a consequential thing. Because you ask for wisdom, if you walk wisely, these other things come in their due time. So that's the wisdom that God passes along to us through Solomon from the book of Proverbs. And we'll be looking at this over the next several weeks. You see, I think Solomon understood that if we have wisdom, we have the path to just about anything. And I'll put it into some real simple, common, everyday terms that we might use. If you have wisdom, you'll not only be able to figure out how to make money, you'll understand how to save it, how to invest it wisely, how to get the most out of it. You'll learn how to be a good steward. If you have wisdom, you'll not only be able to make a friend, you'll be able to keep a friend. You'll be able to be a really good friend. If you have wisdom, you'll be able to avoid a lot of the misery in this world. Why? Because a lot of it, what happens? We bring it on ourselves. A little wisdom can make a big difference. So you want to maximize your happiness, learning how to minimize your misery is a great way. It's all a part of wisdom. If you have wisdom, you'll understand about how to raise your kids. If you have wisdom, you'll understand about, well, you'll be actually able to go to sleep at night because you're not dreading what's going to happen as a result of your bad choices that day, because wisdom will keep you from those bad choices. A lot of the stuff we worry about are the coming consequences of poor decisions we've already made, of unwise choices. So wisdom is incredibly important. So the obvious question, how do we get some wisdom? Where do we get some wisdom? And I know you're shocked. I'm going to suggest that the Bible is the best source for wisdom. Now, I will say, you can look for wisdom elsewhere. The Bible is not the only source of wisdom in this world. If you look for wisdom in other places, sometimes it will hit, and other times it will miss. And you can get wisdom from a parent, from a friend, from, you know, whoever, your key figures in life. It can be helpful. But it's not as dependable as the wisdom that comes from the Scriptures. The Bible clearly says we're getting that kind of wisdom, it comes through every time. Matter of fact, Proverbs 14:12, a very important verse, probably repeat it several times over the next 6 or 7 weeks. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. That's one that you do well to memorize. It reminds you that even if you're decent folk, and I know most of you, we all decent folk. We all, want to do our, but you have to be, you lean on your own wisdom, you will eventually end up in trouble. Because what seems right, when money's tight, kind of seems right. If I keep a little less, give a little less of my tithe, I'll have a little more to make my life better. Most of us will tell you that is not the way it's played out in our lives. It's when we are faithful to God that God proves himself more than faithful over and over and over again. And we can apply that not only to money. Money's a thing that Proverbs addresses quite regularly, but it deals with a lot of other situations like that. Don't trust in just your human intuition, even though you are great people. He says, beware, the way that seems right to a man can lead to death. So perhaps not quite as gracious way of putting it is to say that sometimes the human tendency is to choose a way that is foolish, a way that leads to death. So you must be careful. Proverbs is given to us so that we can learn how to get wisdom, how to apply it to our lives in the most basic level. And can I tell you, those of you who don't like, esoteric, real heady kind of sermons, let me give you some good news. Proverbs is not about abstract theological ideas. It does not contain obscure philosophies. It does not contain any genealogical such and such begat so and so begat so and so. That's not in Proverbs. That's the wrong place to find that. There are no mysterious parables in the book of Proverbs. There's just clear teaching about practical, straightforward wisdom. So today we're going to open by talking about what wisdom is according to the scriptures and how we can get it working in our lives. So let's get started. If you got a note, you like to take notes, you got your note page there in front of you. Let's start off with a working definition. Let me give you one. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. Short and simple. The ability to make good decisions. Now, Pastor Steve May, to whom I'm much indebted today, he tells a friend, he said that one time, and a friend of his, and I don't know, I don't have too many friends like this, he has some ornery friends. He said, well, Pastor, you're kind of right. I know none of you ever do that. He said, you're kind of right. You have to make good decisions, but really, decisions isn't enough. You have to act on them. To which Pastor May said, you kind of are missing the point. Because to act or not to act is a decision. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. Whether you take an action or defer to take an action or delay an action or accelerate an action, wisdom is all about the ability to make good decisions. What to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, when to say it, when not to say it, when to take action, when not. Make good decisions. So think of it this way, and I put this on your note page. If you know the right thing, you are intelligent, and that's very good. But if you know the right thing and choose to do it, then you are wise. That's the difference between just being smart and being wise. We'll often say, oh yeah, that was a smart thing to do. Did you do it? It'd be smart if we did we do it? Because if it really would be smart to do something, then wisdom says, do it. Get it done. As we develop wisdom, the difference it makes in our lives is that we get the ability to make good decisions. So we need wisdom. Now, I want to encourage you to want wisdom. So what I did was located some benefits for wisdom. So we're gonna do this fast, miraculously. I don't know how they did this, translated from the Hebrew. They all begin with the letter P. Here we go. All right. Some of y'all get the inside joke. All right. Here we go. Because Proverbs, these all come out of the first several chapters of Proverbs, but Proverbs says a lot about the benefits of wisdom. I'm going to give you these quick 10 real quickly. So if you got your little bulletin notes there, or maybe you're a smartphone user, let's go. The first one is perception. Wisdom gives you an accurate perception of what's going on in life. Proverbs 2, 9 and 10 says, then you will understand, that is if you have wisdom, then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You get it. You see things clearly. Perception. Understanding what is reality and what isn't. Being clear on what is going on in life. Perception. All right? That's one of the benefits of wisdom. You perceive things accurately. You ever talk to somebody in a conversation, you thought, man, these people do not have a clue. And without being ungracious, what you are saying is, they are not, I don't know what reality, sometimes we say it that way, right? I don't know what reality they're living in. Because what they're talking about isn't accurate for anything that I've ever known in my experience. Wisdom helps you with perception. The second one's prevention. Wisdom will prevent us from engaging in, and hear it again, self-destructive behavior when you're wise. Proverbs 2:12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, and that includes ourselves. It will save you from the adulterous, it goes on to say. Proverbs 3:23, you will go on your way in safety. Your foot will not stumble. You won't stumble, right? I'm not going to put myself down. Prevention, it helps protect you from some things, prevents you from doing some self-destructive things. Third one, wisdom will, this is unbelievable, wisdom prolongs your life, prolongs your life. Proverbs 3:1-2, keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. That's what God says. They will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That means your inner life is strengthened through wisdom. And we already know, doctors tell us all, secular doctors keep making these amazing discoveries that the Bible's been talking. Oh yeah, your emotional state affects your physical existence. If you're well in your mind and in your heart and in your relationships, your physical health is better most of the time. So wisdom can prolong your life. Long life is in her right hand, and her is referring to wisdom. That's what it does for us. Proverbs 9:11, for through me, wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Now, people will sometimes say, how does wisdom add years to my life? Well, if you have wisdom, it lowers your stress, and that's affects your blood pressure. Oh, anybody ever had their doctor tell them you need to get your blood pressure down? I know we do. People, this is how wisdom adds years to our lives. And as the cliche goes, you know, it not only adds years to your lives, but it adds life to your years. They're richer. They're more enjoyable. You have wisdom. All right, the fourth benefit of wisdom, peace. We spent some time in our study of Philippians talking about the blessings of peace. Well, Proverbs 3:17 says, her, again, wisdom, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. This is one of the verses that has led us to the phrase, when people say, I'm seeking the will of God, and they're unclear, we say, pray about it, and see if God will give you a peace, a sense of peace about it. It's by itself does not answer every question about the will of God, but it's one of the ways, especially if you say, God, if this is not right, do not let me have a sense of peace. God listens to your prayers. So be aware. One of the blessings of wisdom is peace. Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Does that speak to anybody? I mean, I think that today, again, part of the thing of the lifestyles we live and the things we see in life, whether it's on the news or whether it's on entertainment or whether it's what we read in the paper, it just puts so much in our minds. And when we go to bed at night, if we don't have wisdom about the decisions and the choices we're making, those things trouble us. Wisdom brings peace of mind. The fifth benefit, prosperity. Now, I want to be careful about this because you all know I'm not a real big supporter of what's called the prosperity gospel. But listen to what I'm talking about, prosperity, wisdom, walking in wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 3, verse 2, wisdom will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. So I'm not going to deny that verse. Proverbs 3:16, long life is in her, that is wisdom, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. What's he basing this on? Solomon is basing this on his own experience. He asked God for wisdom, and because God gave him wisdom, he also received riches and power and the ability to judge wisely. All of these things came because he had wisdom instead of just asking for the wealth or asking for those things. So that's a important, and this connection between wisdom and wealth we'll come back to several times over the next several weeks. Do not let anybody tell you that just because you believe in Jesus, riches are coming your way. Worldly riches, earthly riches. That is not the testimony of the Scriptures. But the testimony of the Scriptures is that wisdom can absolutely have that positive effect on your financial life, your business dealings, all those kinds of things. All right, let's go on to the next benefit. The next letter, P, straight from the Hebrew, I'm sure. The word poise. The word poise. When you have wisdom, you know, those people who are calm in almost every situation, they're at ease. Paul said in a very famous verse, I've learned to be content whether I have little or whether I have much, talking about material things. I think, you know, one of the ways you think about wisdom is this: people are comfortable in a crowd or they're comfortable by themselves. They're comfortable helping people deal with stress when stress is high, and they enjoy being with people and can connect with people when things are going smoothly. They're a good teammate, a good shipmate as we're sailing the seas of life. And Proverbs 3, 26 and 27, have no fear of sudden disaster, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your feet from being snared. That gives you poise. You know what? When things begin to unravel and people start to panic, if you have learned wisdom, if you know that your life is in his hands, that nothing is going to come upon you that God has not permitted to come, and you know that he wants what's best for you ultimately, it doesn't mean there won't be any hardships, but you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be in desperate straits like that. You're not going to be abandoned. That's not what's going to happen. You're able to take even challenging circumstances with poise. Seventh benefit, protection. Wisdom will keep us safe. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. You see how difficult that exegesis was for me? That was really hard. Love her, and she will watch over you. Walk wisely, and it will protect you. Protection. Number 8, precision. You know, this is not one that maybe everybody would roll to real quick. Let's talk about it for a second. Wisdom helps you to take the right number of steps in the right direction at the right pace. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 4:12, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. When you are wise, you know there's a time to run and a time to walk. There's a time to rest. Wisdom informs those things. If you hike the Appalachian Trail and you're going up one of those really rocky mountainside paths, that's not a time to try jogging through there. You end up twisting an ankle, now you're stuck somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. You have to know when to run, when to walk, so you do not stumble. Wisdom helps you be precise. And when you think about this from the big picture of life, can I get an amen from somebody over the age of 50? When you know that knowing when, it's not always the what. It's the timing issue, isn't it? We push things sometimes, or we're afraid and we're too slow on things. Wisdom helps me make decisions and take the action I need to take in the right time. It gives me precision. If you don't think that's applicable to our relocation process, you have not been paying attention. So, all right, number 9. This one almost disappeared from our vocabulary, but thanks to Dana Carvey, it reappeared. Prudence. Prudence. Remember when he used to pretend to be George Bush the First, and he'd say, wouldn't be prudent. That word had almost left our vocabulary in English. But you know, it has to do with timing. It has to do with, if I make this decision, it has a little bit to do with caution. A good word would be discretion. Prudence, discretion, discernment, these are all related words. Good sense, there's a nice, simple way to put it. Wisdom helps you exercise caution when you need to exercise caution. and it gives you a sense of when you need to be prudent and hold back a bit when the time is there for that. Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. See, these are pieces that, wow, just are so valuable. And then the last benefit, real quickly, wisdom. Wisdom pays. Wisdom pays. Proverbs 9:12. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. So I want to go back to where we started with Solomon again. I know some of this may sound a little repetitive, but here's what you learn about wisdom. Sometimes you have to hear it numerous times for it to sink in. When you think about peace and confidence and a longer life and prosperity and understanding and discernment and good sense and a sense of direction and a sense of protection and all of that, those are great rewards. Wisdom is worth pursuing. Wisdom is worth having. These are the benefits of wisdom. There are more of them. We'll find more in coming weeks, and I hope you get to where you can enjoy them all. God has plenty of all of these, and he wants you to enjoy these benefits of wisdom. Now, what I'm really hoping is that looking at that list, take a look at it again, maybe think about, is there one there that you would say, yeah, I really have that in my life. God has really blessed me. I've enjoyed the benefits of that. Maybe you're spotting another one going, man, I need some more wisdom about that thing. What I really want is all of us to say, kind of with this spirit of, I got to get me some more of that. I got to get me some more wisdom. I need more of that. I want more of that. Because the wise man hungers for wisdom. The wise woman pursues wisdom. It's a process. It's a journey. But the Bible also lays out some steps along that journey. So let's get started with that for a minute. Let's talk about the process, how we get started with wisdom. And there's a very famous verse that tells us where we start with wisdom. Some of you know exactly where I'm going. It's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you know that fear doesn't mean I'm afraid of the big bad God that's so mean and tough and hateful. That's not what it means. It means an awe, a reverence, a respect, an understanding of who God really is as he has revealed himself in his scripture. We start on the path of wisdom, listen, by putting God first. Because if you see God for who he is, then you will worship him. And when you worship him, you have found your reason for being. This, my people, how did God say it? Psalm 27 maybe? No, that may not be the right chapter. My people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. Anybody else got the reference? Now, okay, I'm looking at a couple of you Bible scholars. Somebody's going to look it up in their concordance later and act like they knew it. I know you. My people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. That's what God formed us for. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We put God in, listen, first place. Now, listen, this is so important because this is Old Testament, and some people say, yeah, don't want to preach too much Old Testament, you don't preach Jesus. Listen, here is the beginning of wisdom, put God first. And when we talk about that now, in light of Jesus coming, in light of what the New Testament teaches, oh, and forgive me, in light of Easter, which was just last Sunday, what I'm saying is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the beginning of wisdom. Brothers and sisters in the 21st century church, read my lips. Evangelism, being saved, being born again, knowing Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, accepting Jesus into your heart. If you are embarrassed by these words, you need to get over yourself. This is the beginning of wisdom, is to know Jesus, to understand that he did for you what you could not do for yourself, to honor him as Lord, to not wait for the end of time when the Bible says every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and you understand what he's talking about there. Okay, every knee will bow and acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. But the right time to do it, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. So If you want wisdom and you say, yeah, I need some of that good Bible, I want the prosperity, I want the peace, but I'm not sure I'm ready for that Jesus stuff. You need to understand, you are fighting an uphill battle. You are not going to win that one. It starts with Jesus. It is where the path of life begins. I have come that you may have life. What does that mean? It means before that, you didn't have life. How many of you understand that? Raise your hand for me. Okay, you're on the path to wisdom. I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance. This is what Jesus is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing Jesus is the beginning of the path of life, and it puts us on the path of wisdom. Now, it doesn't stop there, because the rest of the New Testament goes on to teach us about walking in wisdom. And so Proverbs is very, very helpful for this journey. So if we believe that wisdom is important, that it's about making decisions and taking action, if we understand that the beginning of it is understanding who Jesus is, putting God first in our lives, then how can we put wisdom to work? What does it look like in our lives? How can we start down the journey of really growing in wisdom? Because that's what I'm going to close with today, three ways we can put wisdom to work. Because, you know, let's face it, when you hear the term, oh, he's a wise man, you normally expect that person to be wise or old. She's a wise woman. You're expecting to see, you know, gray hair or, yeah, right? Most of us think, yeah, wisdom comes with age, and it can. Thank the Lord, but not always, unfortunately. You don't have to wait until you're old to become wise. One of the greatest compliments you can be paid, you are wise beyond your years. And there are some folks in this room, you are wise beyond your years. And it is an honor to see how God is at work in you and how you are following after Him.